Greetings, dear friends. It is wonderful to be back with you. We have had a tremendously busy last few months, and now that we're over the hump of the new year and got all the receipts out for the year end and all those different kinds of tasks done, we are back with you, and each month that we're able, we're going to send you a message. I have a question for you. Are you thankful to be alive today? I know I am. Last year was a rough one for us, and we knew that things would be different, but we didn't know how different. So I'm here to say that I'm alive and well, and I'm encouraged in the Lord, and we're moving forward, and God is good. Amen? But even in this renewed encouragement, He has allowed a different reality in my life after my surgery, a new start, quote-unquote. With, yes, limitations that I didn't have before. I do have side effects, and I do struggle some days more than others. So I've had to come to the place with the Lord where I'm not going to let these new limitations stop me from trying to impact the world in a positive way. I just have to exercise my faith in God and accept my current situation and work with, well, what I have left. Each morning, when we have this kind of experience of surrender with the Lord, we will find that the Lord's mercies are bountiful and sufficient for the trials of that day. Amen? Lamentations 3:21 says, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Of course, God's faithfulness and His mercies and His compassions, they fail not. But that's not always my testimony. I personally fail sometimes to have mercy and compassion and faithfulness. Have you ever had the same experience? Do you need a new start with the Lord? Have you failed Him and you need His help once again? Do you seem far away from Him and you want to be closer? Have you made promises to Him or others and then went back on them? What's so beautiful to me, my friend, is the realization that each morning when our eyes open from the night's sleep, we are given a powerful gift, a new start. Praise God. If we choose to, that's the key, if we choose to, we can have a new start with our spouses, our children, our extended family, our employers, our neighbors, and most importantly, with our God. Each morning brings a new start. Do you need that new start? Do you believe that God loves you and will give you everything you need to have that new start? I'm going to read through 8 different promises out of the Bible. I'm just going to read them in quick succession. I'm not even going to give you where the Bible reference is, because frankly, I want you to go and dig in your Bible and find them. I'll give you the first one. Psalm 68:19. "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. A new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men may count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Praise the Lord. His mercies, His compassion, His faithfulness, they fail not. We can choose to embrace the new day, the new start that He offers us, or we can reject it. If we embrace the new start by surrendering to God, confessing our sins, asking for forgiveness, then He will begin to work recreation in our lives and restore health and joy unto us. If we don't embrace the new start that God wants to give us, then we will continue to experience sickness, sadness, spiritual atrophy, and defeat. God forbid. Now, perhaps you've heard the phrase, new start, before, in and around the health field. It's an acronym. It's a wonderful tool for us to remember the 8 health principles, or the 8 laws of health that lead to a more abundant life, complete with good health. Did you know that? Did you know that there are laws that govern our physical being? And if we violate these laws, we suffer with sickness and disease. But praise God that the opposite is true as well. If we follow these 8 laws of health, these 8 principles of health, we can be strong and healthy. Now, here's the acronym, New Start. N stands for nutrition, E, exercise, W, water, S, sunshine, T, temperance, A, air, R, rest, and T, for trust in God. New start. I had a powerful thought a while back regarding the 8 laws of health. And this thought process led me to develop this message. What I've discovered is that while these 8 laws of health are absolutely vital for physical health, they are just as vital for spiritual health. Not just the fact that having a healthy body and mind will aid us in a better connection with God, but that each of the 8 laws of health parallel our needs in our spiritual lives as well. So what I thought we could do is to quickly review each of the 8 laws of health, as you might have already heard them regarding our physical health, and then go a bit deeper and use them in a spiritual context. Let's apply the acronym New Start to our spiritual needs as Christians. Now, we won't get through all 8 today, I guarantee you. So we'll meet up again next time, and we will continue to dive into this message. Growing up, I didn't know about the 8 laws of health. I was raised on the standard high-fat, high-cholesterol, life-stealing American diet. In fact, due to my diet and the amazing amount of stress that I experienced in my younger years, by the time I was 24 years young, I was very sick. Sparing you the gory list of symptoms and all of the nasty details, suffice it to say I was sick. In fact, a doctor at a well-respected cancer clinic was so concerned after analyzing my blood that I immediately went on a heavy, natural food, heavy herbal supplementation, and a heavy cleansing protocol. I also became a vegan vegetarian, and I learned about the 8 laws of health and embraced them, and as a result, my friends, I was healed. Indeed, I was given a new start. I was given a new lease on life, and I praise and thank my God that the 8 laws of health were shared with me. Now, today's message is not by any stretch of the imagination a comprehensive study on the 8 laws of health, nor a comprehensive study on our spiritual application as well, but rather food for thought, to use an appropriate phrase, to get your mind chewing on these things. I want to encourage you to go deeper. Don't just stop with what I've thought about. Go further and let the Lord impress you with deeper thoughts. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. Come and let us reason together. Amen. Now, let's begin with our acronym, New Start, and N stands for what? Nutrition. Have you ever thought about this fact? That you could die of starvation with a full stomach. Think about that. Have you ever even conceived of that? You could die of starvation with a full stomach. Thousands die each year this way. Here's what I mean. Proper nutrition is vital for good health. We can eat and eat and starve ourselves of the nutrients that they need to survive if we eat poorly like most people do. You see, empty calorie foods like fast foods, highly processed foods, highly refined foods, And foods that are high in cholesterol, they of course will have some nutrients, but do more harm than good. What happens is our tummies get filled up, but we have not been nourished, so we continue to seek out food, not because we have empty stomachs, but rather empty cells. While these poor food items are quote-unquote foods and have high caloric values, which help us to put on fat, they have extremely low nutritive value, which is vital for survival at the cellular level. Our cells, the very building blocks of life, they actually suffer under the wrong types of food, which are most of the time injurious to our cells. The cells suffer. Eventually, sickness and disease develop because there are not enough nutrients for the cells to survive and fight off disease. You see, we can actually starve our bodies, our cells, even with a full stomach. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." So we can bring honor and glory to God even by what we eat or what we drink and, of course, whatever we do. So we must be careful of the food that we allow into our bodies, or we could bring dishonor upon God. Perhaps you've heard the saying, "You are what you eat." Now, this saying is really not entirely accurate. It's not enough to just eat, nor is it enough to just digest what we've eaten. If what has gone into the body has not been actually assimilated, become actually part of us on a cellular level, then we have just taken in substance without gaining benefit from it. You see, we are what we assimilate. It's not enough to just digest. We must assimilate. And assimilate means to become similar, to be converted into like substance. So if we eat and assimilate junk, we will become similar. We will be converted into a like substance. We will have junk cells and thus sickness. Does that make sense? We literally become weakened by the junk we take into our bodies. Our immune system becomes compromised and we can't fight off disease anymore and thus we suffer. These empty calorie foods, they don't satisfy the body hunger, the cellular hunger. They just fill the stomach. Our amazing bodies have to work overtime just to extract something to live on. The junk food always seems to taste so good. The problem is, it kills us. And even after we eat an abundance of these kinds of foods, have you noticed that there's still that emptiness inside? We're just not satisfied? Well, the brain doesn't stop sending the signal to eat because it knows that the cells have not yet been nourished. Can you say unwanted pounds and sickness? What's so awesome and so wonderful to me is that when we eat and assimilate highly nutritive foods, like a high-starch, low-fat, plant-based, moderate-protein diet full of fruits and vegetables, when we eat, we can become very physically satisfied even with smaller amounts of food because our bodies, our cells, are being nourished. The body is not starving. So the craving for food is satisfied and the signal to eat is held off until the cells need nourishment once again. And as a result, we will have strong cells that can fight off disease. We will eat less food and be better nourished. We will become stronger when we, according to Ecclesiastes 10:17, eat for strength and not for drunkenness. So temporal or physical nutrition is a vital component for us to experience the more abundant life, physically speaking. Now, spiritually speaking, how could we apply the word nutrition in our lives? Personally, I like the word nutrition when it comes to our Christian walk because it's easy for my mind to wrap around it. It's easy for me to understand. On a spiritual level, we can become, of course, nourished or malnourished by what we allow into our souls. Our souls are constantly being fed by our senses, which are the avenues to our soul. So while we are awake, while we're conscious, we never actually stop consuming. We never stop eating. We never stop feeding our soul. So we must be careful of what food goes on our spiritual plate. Amen? What buffets we're eating at, we must be careful. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So according to the scripture, we can glorify God in our body and in our spirit, right? Of course, the opposite would stand to reason as well. We could bring dishonor to God in our body and in our spirit, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we can glorify God, or we could dishonor God by putting bad fuel into the machinery when we allow empty or injurious things to enter our body, to cloud our minds, to make us sick. But how do we dishonor God in our spirit, nutritionally speaking? Matthew 6:23 says, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? We bring dishonor to ourselves, dishonor to the church, and dishonor to God by consuming the wrong kinds of worldly sensory foods that the world offers up, because we become like that which we have assimilated, the world. We have become converted into like substance. We have become similar. We have become like the world. John 6:35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So what this scripture tells me is that if I, quote, eat from Jesus' table, my spiritual cells or my soul will be completely nourished. It said, you will never hunger and you will never thirst again. Praise the Lord. So if I consume spiritual books, programs and materials that have healthy Christian substances bearing the imprint of Jesus, then we can be nourished spiritually. That empty hole inside of us can be completely filled. Our very souls will be made stronger by feeding on spiritually nutritious materials like the Bible. Of course, this is the highest concentration of spiritual nutrients available to man. Or, if we feast on other extremely high nutritive material like reading the spirit of prophecy, listening to good spiritual music, or watching productive videos or TV programs that are filled with the bread of life. Jesus Christ, the bread of life, will nourish my soul. He will indeed fill the deep soul hunger that is inside of me. Psalms 81:10 says, I am the Lord thy God. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I love that. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Open your mind, open your soul, and I will fill the emptiness that is inside of you. I will satisfy your soul hunger. Ezekiel 34:14 declares, I will feed them in a good pasture. Upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There they shall lie in a good fold. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Verse 15, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him. I will dine with him, and he with me. We must feed at His table. But we're told, friend, that there is a foe out there that has a table as well. There is a foe out there that is knocking on the door also. He brings to the door of our hearts a bunch of fast food. There are plenty of, quote, meals in the world being cooked up by Satan and served up by his fallen angels. He wants us to open our mouths wide to him so he can fill our bellies with non-nourishing, non-satisfying, soul-stealing, empty calories while we starve our very souls. He wants us to die spiritually with our lives so filled up with empty calories that we have no room for real spiritual substance. He wants us to die of soul starvation while having filled up lives. Empty. Never satisfied. Always wanting more is the state that the devil longs to have us remain in. He serves up empty food, fast food like worldly TV, bad movies, horrible music, watered down sermons, side issues in the church. He fills up our minds with nonsense that can never nourish the soul, only fill our tummies, if you will. Our brain says, keep consuming, keep watching, keep listening, keep seeking, keep looking for something more exciting, because that didn't satisfy the void inside of me. So we keep going back to the feast at his eye-appealing but empty table. The world's entertainments, my friend, have heavy caloric weight, but no soul-sustaining nutrients. Tons of empty calorie, high-fat things that just congest our souls, steal our time, and draw us from Jesus Christ, the real bread of life. If we feast on any other table than that of Jesus Christ's, we will leave every time starved and not spiritually nourished, not energized, or prepared for the day ahead. Youth instructor, November 11th, 1897 says, quote, there are many starved, many strengthless, because instead of eating of the bread which came down from heaven, they fill their minds with things of minor importance. But if the sinner, that's you, that's me, if the sinner will partake of the bread of life, he will, regenerated and restored, become a living soul. Hallelujah. The bread sent down from heaven, who's that? Jesus Christ, will infuse new life into his weakened energies. The Holy Spirit will take of the things of God and show them to him. And if he will receive them, there's the key, if we will receive what the Holy Spirit reveals to us, his character, the sinner's character, will be cleansed from all selfishness and refined and purified for heaven. End quote. That is powerful. If the sinner will partake of the bread of life, he will become regenerated, restored, and become a living soul. It's a choice, dear friend. Each day we must choose whom we will serve. Each day we must choose what we will consume in a physical matter and in a spiritual matter. We can die, my friends, of starvation with a full stomach, spiritually speaking. I see it all over. Some Christians are so busy with church duties, different church offices, they help in the preparation of fellowship meals, they clean the church building and keep the bushes trimmed, and they attend church every Sabbath. While all these things are important, they aren't spiritual food for the soul. You see, we can get so busy being church people or religious people that we forget to be Christians, followers of Christ. We can have our stomachs full of even good church activities, but miss out on the full, nourishing spiritual meal found only in eating at Christ's table. We can show up to the table, but no one will force us to eat. What do you mean? How do we eat spiritually? Very simple. Our personal devotions. That's eating the Word of God. Bible study with others. Listening to, chewing on, and assimilating the bread of life during family worship. Or at the table that the preacher serves up during Sabbath. Not watching the clock complaining he's preaching too long because our belly is more concerned about eating the fellowship meal than eating the words of life. In other words, taking in substance but not gaining any benefit from it. It's not enough to just show up at the dinner table each Sabbath. We must sup with Jesus. We must dine with Him instead of dining with the world, instead of being assimilated into the world and that becoming actually part of me. I want Jesus to be assimilated into my very soul. Amen. I want Jesus to become part of me. I want His blood to run through my veins. I want Him to be in me and me to be in Him. I want to assimilate, to take Jesus into my soul, to absorb and to integrate His character into me. I want to come to the place to where I resemble my Maker. We are what we assimilate, remember? And what did assimilate mean? To become similar, to become converted into like substance. Yes, I want to be like Jesus Christ. I want to be converted into the likeness of His character. Amen? How about you? Then we need to dine at His table. Here's a powerful quote, letter 4, written in 1902, quote, "All who study the Word are represented as eating the Word, feeding on Christ. Even as the bodily necessities must be supplied daily, so the Word of God must be daily studied, eaten, and digested, and practiced. This sustains the nourishment to keep the soul in health. The neglect of the Word means starvation to the soul. The Word describes the blessed man as one meditating day and night upon the truths of God's Word. We all are to feast upon the Word of God. The relation of the Word to the believer is a vital matter. Appropriating the Word to our spiritual necessities is eating of the leaves of the tree of life that are for the healing of the nations. Study the Word," she says. "Practice the Word, for it is your life. Nutrition for the soul is a vital component, wouldn't you say? A vital component to being a healthy Christian. Jesus wants to give us a new start, nutritionally speaking, both for our physical bodies and, even more important, for our spiritual souls. I want to encourage you, friend, to eat for physical health and to eat for spiritual health. Amen? Will you choose today to become a nutrition-filled Christian, both physically and spiritually? Now, we've only covered one of the eight. New start, N for nutrition. Let's move on to exercise, E for exercise. When we look at the body and its construction, it is easy to see that we were made for movement. With all of the muscles, the levers, the joints, the hinges, and so on, there's no doubt that the body was made to move. After all, Genesis 2:15 says that the Lord God put him, that's man, into the Garden of Eden to sit around and do nothing. No, that's not what it says. It says to dress it and to keep it. He was to be a gardener. Before sin, Adam and Eve were to keep the garden and dress it. Yes, physical labor, even before sin. But not by the sweat of thy face. That actually came after sin. It was a blessing for man in the beginning, long before sin. It was a blessing for man to be physically active. But after Adam and Eve chose to sin against God, even the ground changed. Did you know that? And the amount of physical effort required to survive, that changed too. Because God knew that the effects of sin would weaken the constitution of man, and that more strenuous physical labor was going to be necessary to aid man in detoxifying his body of sickness and disease. Let's read a few verses, starting in Genesis 3:17. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. I don't like that, but that's the reality. The ground became cursed for my sake. Verse 18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. Genesis 3:23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So notice a few things here. The ground is cursed for our sake. There are thorns and thistles. We will eat the herb of the field. By the sweat of our face, physical activity, we will eat bread tilling the ground until we die. So exercise is vital to being healthy. We can have the best diet and eat the most nutritional foods on the planet, but we could still suffer with sickness and disease if we don't move. Eating great is not enough. Remember, it's only one of the 8 laws of health. There are 8 of them. And to have the more abundant life, we must embrace and practice all 8 of them. Exercise is most vital when it comes to health, no question. In fact, a friend of mine that is a health professional, he told me that, for instance, in bodybuilding, the ratio of diet versus exercise, the importance of diet versus exercise was 90% diet and 10% exercise if you wanted to build massive muscles and be successful in bodybuilding. But for general health, it's the opposite. He said, it's 90% exercise and 10% nutrition. In other words, you would actually do better if you exercised seriously and ate, well, just about whatever you wanted, versus eating great and never exercising. But imagine what would happen if we went to 100% nutrition and 100% exercise. Wow. We would really be on our way to a new start, amen, and to the more abundant life. It's simply a choice. Will you fill your body with nutrition? Will you exercise it and get it moving? Not everybody, though, wants to go to the gym or buy exercise equipment, because both can be very costly. But friends, exercise doesn't mean that it has to be costly, or even time-consuming, or complicated. In fact, one of the most effective, simple, and healthy ways to exercise is free. Can you afford that? Walking. Go for a brisk walk. Elevate your heart rate and sustain it for a period of time for, well, at least 20 minutes. And that will get your blood flowing, the heart beating, the lymphatic system pumping. Our body is an amazing creation. It can grow stronger and build muscle as a result of being challenged by a simple walk. Right now, I weigh a bit less than 150 pounds, and I could bench press, about the same. But if I were to keep putting more weight on my muscles, challenging them to work, then they would become stronger. They would continue to build. I could keep working them and challenging them and building them to where eventually I could bench press, say, 300 pounds. But the opposite is true as well. I could drop drastically from the 150 pounds currently if I didn't keep my muscles moving. In fact, I had that happen. After my ear surgery, while I was down for many months not able to exert myself for fear of hemorrhaging, I lost much of my strength. It was amazing to me. Just simple exercise, simple, consistent walking in gravity is a tremendous blessing. Did you know that astronauts, that their muscles waste away at an average rate of 5% per week in space? That's significant. If you were a 150-pound person, that would be over 7 pounds a week. Why? Well, the body perceives that the muscle is not needed and does not maintain them or build them anymore. Bedridden people know what I'm talking about. They suffer with the same problem, just at a slower rate. So, just walking, bearing our weight under God-given gravity, is amazingly healthful for us. Moving this wonderful body that God gave to us, it gets, like we said, that blood flowing, carrying away disease and malignant cells. Imagine if you just sat there barely moving your heart. What would those malignant cells like to do? How about have a little party and create a cluster called cancer? It pumps the lymphatic system, which is the sewer system of the body. It gets it gone. It takes it out of the blood into the lymphatic system and flushes it out. Moving oxygenates the blood. In fact, studies are finding that exercise is a vital factor in the fight against cancer. God did not design that man would just sit around and do nothing. Yes, it's a blessing to move. Why on earth would you deny yourself a blessing of moving? Healthful Living, page 131. Quote, God designed that the living machinery should be in daily activity. For in this activity or motion is its preserving power. The more we exercise, the better will be the circulation of the blood, end quote. Counsels on Health, 572. If physical exercise were combined with mental exertion, the blood would be quickened in its circulation. The action of the heart would be more perfect. Do you need a more perfect heart, physically and spiritually? Well, by taking action, by moving, the heart would be more perfect. Impure matter, how about cancer cells, would be thrown off, and new life and vigor would be experienced in every part of the body. Here's another powerful quote. I feel sad for those who are not only deceived themselves in thinking that they are sick, but who are kept deceived by their parents and by their friends who pet their ailments and relieve them from labor. If these were so situated as to be compelled to labor, get moving, sick person, they would scarcely notice difficulties which, while indolent, kept them in bed. Physical exercise is a precious blessing for both mental and physical ailments. Exercise with cheerfulness would in many cases prove a most effective restorer to the complaining invalid. Useful employment would bring into exercise the enfeebled muscles and would enliven the stagnant blood in the system and would arouse the torpid liver to perform its functions. The circulation of the blood would be equalized and the entire system invigorated to overcome bad conditions. Exercise, no doubt, is vital for healthful living. Amen? Do you believe it? Then get moving. Sustain that heart rate for at least 20 minutes a day. Now remember, housework and chores don't count. We gotta be moving and get that heart rate pumping. Talk to your doctor or talk to your medical professional. Don't go out there and run a marathon if you've been sitting in bed for 10 days. Be wise. Pray and ask God to give you guidance. Now, let's apply exercise to us spiritually. Spiritually speaking, exercise is a wonderful word to describe what we need as Christians to be spiritually healthy. Quote, we need to work more in Christ's lines, to pray more. We need to exercise our faith. There's a key phrase. We need to exercise our faith until we grasp the hand of the omnipotent power. Then we shall be able to carry the message of present truth to the multitudes who are ignorant of it. Our lives as Christians are to move, to be filled with action, to be exercised. We must move and co-labor with God. Amen? We must exercise our faith muscle. And the more that we exercise the faith and the power that we have been given by God, the stronger our spiritual lives will become. When the weight of the world and its temptations and trials are laid upon us, we can allow our faith muscle to be challenged and therefore built, or we could simply not lift our spiritual hands and, well, develop spiritual bed wounds from inactivity. the more we exercise our faith, and the more we exercise the powers that God has given us, the more skillful we will become. Just think of this. How does the Olympian win a gold medal? How do they become more skillful? After all, he might look pretty much like you. They might sound like you. They might dress like you. The Olympian might talk like you. But friends, there's a deep difference between you and that gold medalist, wouldn't you say? They have a goal, you see, and the goal is so important and so real to them that they rarely focus on anything else. Their entire life is consumed by the one goal, to win the gold medal. Not the silver, but the gold. And people will applaud them for having this life of dedication and consecration. He's a gold medalist. And when that gold medalist stands up there and that medal is put around their neck, everybody knows what that represents. It represents a life that was dedicated to that one goal. And you know what? A lot of people respect that. You see, they were willing. Everybody knows they were willing to go to bed early so they can rise early to train. They eat only the best foods to fuel their machinery so they can train more efficiently. You see, they exercise daily. They watch other successful athletes compete and win, and then they go and exercise some more. They fill their mind with thoughts of winning and overcoming their opponents, and then they exercise some more. They associate with other athletes that have the same amazing goal, and then they go and exercise some more. And as a result of this consistent, dedicated lifestyle, they achieve more than what typical humans do. They find that when they get to the competition, they are well able to excel and to win. They find that practice makes perfect. Here's the lesson from that example. The more we exercise our faith and powers as Christians for God, the more skillful we will become. How does the Christian win the gold medal, eternal life? After all, maybe we look like the average Christian. We might sound like a Christian. We might dress like a Christian. We might talk like a Christian. But many times, deep down inside, there's an amazing difference or a gulf that separates us and the true gold medal Christian. Do we have an eternal goal? And is the goal so important to us and so real to us that we rarely focus on anything else? Is our entire life, is your entire life consumed by one goal, friend, to win the gold medal, not the silver, but the gold medal of eternal life? Are we willing to go to bed early so we can rise early to train our minds in God's Word? Are we willing to eat only the best foods, the Bible, to fuel our machinery so we can move for the Lord and hear Him more clearly? Are we willing to exercise our faith daily? Are we willing to watch, quote-unquote, other successful Christians in the Bible and in the church and in our history and watch them compete and win in their lives? Are we willing to exercise our faith in overcoming obstacles? Are we willing to get moving for God? Are you willing to fill your mind with thoughts of winning over temptations and overcoming your satanic opponent? Then exercise your faith muscle. Get moving for God. Associate with other athletes that have the same amazing spiritual goal as you. And exercise your faith then even more. Start a Bible study, maybe. Give a large donation to God's cause. Buy some literature and go hand them out. Go sing at an old folks' home. Do something for God. But Christian, I just couldn't do that kind of labor. Well, then how about starting with some smaller weights? Maybe just start by having family worship each evening. Even if you're a one person, have family worship with your Father in heaven. Amen? Yes, my friends, lift the weights of the Christian life and you will become stronger. Start where you are. You may not be able to go out and start a ministry and to fund it and to get everything rolling. You know what? That's between you and God. Just start. Get going from where you are. Amen? Don't let the devil keep you down. Stop sitting around wondering why your spiritual life is weak and pathetic. You're not exercising enough, spiritually speaking. Get moving for your Savior. Get out and walk. Yes, that's right. Walk the walk of faith. As a result of this consistent, dedicated lifestyle, you will achieve more than the typical professed Christian. You will find that practicing to be like Jesus and overcoming challenges and getting out there and co-laboring with God by His grace, that you will eventually perfectly reflect His image and character. 5T 4:58. The more you exercise your powers for the Master, so you've been given powers, friends, the more you exercise your powers for the Master, the more apt and skillful you will become. The more closely you connect yourself with the source of light and power, the greater light will be shed upon you, and the greater power will be yours to use for God. It's a promise. You start off even tiny, even small, and build on that and exercise that faith muscle, God will build you more and help you to become even more powerful. Consider this. Review and Herald, November 12, 1914. Quote, "To those who have failed of discerning the opportunities of the present hour, I would say, do you desire to break the spell that holds you?" Good question. Do you, friend? Do you desire to break the spell that holds you bound? Reading on, would you arouse from this sluggishness that resembles the torpor of death? Go to work. Here's what Sister White says very clearly. Go to work, whether you feel like it or not. Engage in personal effort to bring souls to Jesus and to the knowledge of the truth. In such labor, you will find both a stimulant and a tonic. Friends, I can testify, when I'm out there ministering to God's people or people that don't know God yet, and I'm out there ministering, when I'm out there getting my eyes off of myself and I'm engaging in that personal effort to bring souls to Jesus Christ and to the knowledge of the truth, it stimulates me, it fires me up, and it also is a tonic to maybe depression. Reading on, it will both arouse and strengthen. Do you want to be aroused and strengthened, my friend? By exercise, your spiritual powers will become more vigorous so that you can, with better success, work out your own salvation. The stupor of death is upon many who profess Christ. Make every effort to arouse them, warn, entreat, expostulate. And that's what I'm doing today. Friend, arise, wake up. I'm trying to make every effort that my little ministry can to arouse you, to warn you, to entreat you, to expostulate you, to get you moving for Jesus Christ. Pray that the melting love of God may warm and soften their ice-bound natures. Though they may refuse to hear, I certainly hope that's not your testimony. Your efforts will not be lost. In the effort to bless others, your own souls will be blessed. And brother and sister, I'm telling you, that is pure truth. Here's another amazing quote. Review and Herald, March 13th, 1888. Love that year. "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." This means work. Idleness and religion do not go hand in hand, and the cause of our great deficiency in the Christian life and experience is inactivity in the work of God. Friends, it is vital to exercise your faith in God and get moving. If you are having deficiencies in your Christian life, it's because you have inactivity in the work of God. That's what the Spirit of Prophecy just said. I didn't say it. So don't be upset by that. Be encouraged. If you feel far from God, if you feel that deficiency in your Christian life, then get moving for God. Do something for someone else and stop focusing on yourself. It will bring life and vigor back to your soul. Reading on. The muscles of your body I love this. The muscles of your body will become weak and useless if they're not kept in exercise. And so it is with the spiritual nature. If you would be strong, you must exercise your powers. Exercise faith in God by proving His promises as you take up your cross and lift your burden. Put on the yoke of Christ and prove His words that ye shall find rest unto your souls. Open the Scriptures to someone that is in darkness, and you will not complain of the weariness and lack of interest in the cause of truth. Your heart will be awakened to an anxiety for souls, and joy in the evidences of the faith will fill your heart, and you will know that he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Steps to Christ, page 80. Those who thus exercise the Christian graces. Do you notice? I love the word, exercise the Christian graces. Those who exercise, we're talking about exercise, new start, and nutrition, exercise. Those who exercise the Christian graces will grow and will become strong to work for God. Praise the Lord. Reading on, they will have clear spiritual perceptions, a steady growing faith, and an increase in power in prayer. Strength comes by exercise. Activity is the very condition of life. Listen to these sentences. Those who endeavor to maintain a Christian life. Are you endeavoring to maintain a Christian life? This is talking about us then. Those who endeavor to maintain a Christian life by passively accepting the blessing that come through the means of grace and doing nothing for Christ are simply trying to live by eating without working. A man who would refuse to exercise his limbs would soon lose all power to use them. Thus, the Christian who will not exercise his God-given powers not only fails to grow up into Christ, but he loses the strength that he already had. Would you agree with me that spiritual exercise to be a successful Christian is vital? Before we wrap up, I'd like to go back to two quotes that we read earlier that talked of our physical exercise, and I'd like to apply them to us in a spiritual context. The first one is Counsels on Health, page 572. Quote, God designed that the living machinery should be in daily activity. In other words, we need to exercise faith daily. We need to labor for the Lord daily. For in this activity or motion is its preserving power. By exercising faith and laboring for the Lord, we will be preserved. The more we exercise, the better will be the circulation of the blood. The more we exercise our faith and labor for and with the Lord, the better will Christ's blood circulate through my veins. Amen. Here's another powerful quote that we did read earlier, but I want to inject some thoughts in there. Quote, I feel sad for those who are not only deceived themselves in thinking that they are sick, but who are kept deceived by their parents and friends who pet their ailments and relieve them from labor. I'd like to rewrite that and say, I feel sorry for those who are deceived into thinking that they cannot labor for Christ or exercise faith in Him. These souls are kept trapped by family and friends that just pet their depression and their sadness. They are prisoners in their own minds. They believe the lies that your years of useful labor are over. You're too old. No, you're too young. You know, you're not smart enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not qualified, you're not pretty enough, you're not married, you're a single person, you're not educated enough. Quote, if these were so situated as to be compelled to labor, they would scarcely notice difficulties which, while indolent, kept them in bed. If these were encouraged to exercise faith, my friends, and get their eyes off themselves, they would scarcely notice what had held them back before. Quote, physical exercise is a precious blessing for both mental and physical ailments. Exercising faith and laboring for the salvation of others is a precious blessing for both your mental and physical ailments. If you're suffering with spiritual ailments, then get moving for your Lord, I believe is what that says. Reading on, exercise with cheerfulness would in many cases prove a most effective restorer to the complaining invalid. Exercising faith and cheerfully laboring for your Savior will prove to be a most effective restorer to the complaining, fault-finding, whining, spiritually weak Christian invalid. Useful employment would bring into exercise the enfeebled muscles and would enliven the stagnant blood in the system. Christian labor will strengthen your enfeebled faith muscle. It would allow for a spiritual blood transfusion, and the stagnant dead blood would be replaced by moving, life-giving blood from Jesus Christ the righteous. The circulation of the blood would be equalized and the entire system invigorated to overcome bad conditions. Life would come back to the lifeless Christian. The entire spiritual life would become invigorated, overcoming the bad, sinful conditions of the soul. Exercise, no doubt, is vital for the Christian. We must be willing to exercise our faith, and as the heavier weights, the trials come to us, we must not faint with discouragement, but seeing our spiritual exercise partner, our spiritual spotter, Jesus Christ, we must know that we can not only lift the weight, but we can get out from under it. Amen. We must be so careful to constantly and consistently exercise our faith so that our wicked heart does not perceive that faith is not needed anymore and does not thus maintain it or build it anymore. As we exercise and become spiritually stronger, it is our privilege to go out and to help, to coach and to encourage others to overcome every obstacle that gets in their way. And with Jesus Christ the righteous, you can do that. You can go out and you can minister to someone. You can minister to your neighbor, to your coworkers, everyone and anyone around you, people on the phone. If you can't get up out of bed, then get that phone over there and dial up the phone and call and encourage someone. Pray for somebody. Put on the small weights and begin to exercise. Amen. Get out there and encourage others to look to Jesus Christ because their redemption is drawing nigh. Jesus Christ is coming, my friends. Do you believe it? Then let's live our lives like gold medalists, seeking after this incredible gift, this incredible goal of eternal life. Let our lives reflect that we are Christians in everything that we do, say, or think. Amen? I want to encourage you to eat the bread of life, nutrition, and to exercise your faith muscle every day. And I promise you, well, forget what I promise you. God promises you that you will become a healthier, successful Christian. Praise God. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I can't believe how fast time goes. But I promise you, we will continue this mode of thought next time, and we will explore the remaining 6 laws of physical and, yes, spiritual health. I hope that this message has given you some food for thought. God bless you.
It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice He calls to paths I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand. Say what you want me to say.